Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4, for Spring Semester 2019. Lecture 13, delivered on March 4, 2019. The title of this lecture is Review for the Midterm Exam.
Tonight, review for the midterm exam. Multiple choice, true and false, and a short matching section. About 8 of the questions are math, then there are others that have numbers in them, but you're not doing any actual calculations. You're just looking at the numbers and seeing and doing some interpretation, possibly. There are a couple of true and false in there as well, of course, I promised. And a few of the questions, maybe 2 or 3, are straight off, I just copied and pasted from your in-class quizzes. So those are some of the contours. Now I'm going to go through what I think you should know, and then I want you to ask me questions. This isn't a television show, you don't get to just watch. You can help yourself out by asking specifics. Well, actually, I could just put the exam up on the overhead so you could see it.
Do we need the TI-83?
You do. Yeah, you'll need your calculator, or you've got a world of hurt coming at you trying to do the math. Yeah.
Can we still use the emulator on the computer?
As long as you can show me that you're not going anywhere else with that but the emulator. Oh, mother's work is never done. Okay. As far as math goes, I'm going to expect you to be able to calculate mortgage or car payments. I'll expect you to be able to find an effective yield. And I asked that. Sorry. And a yield on a one-year treasury bill, which I showed you in the last class or class recently. Remember the auction of the T-bills, that thing. You'll have to find a yield on a one-year investment. Stock price is here today. A year from now, the stock price is here. What was the one-year yield? Showed you that a couple of weeks ago. Now, there will be one. I'm not going to have you calculate a complete free cash flow, but I would have you find one component of a free cash flow. And I'll let you figure that out, what I would have you calculate. Now, I'm also going to put on the exam the capture of a screen of a stock. Show you the back of it. And then I'm going to anticipate that you would be able to tell me information that can be drawn from that screen. I've been showing you screens every night of class and stock screens over and over again. And so you're going to look at a screen, just like the one you'd see up there on the overhead, and you're going to figure out, okay, I'm going to ask you questions. What is this? What is this? What is this? From there, so that you can demonstrate to me that you can actually visually analyze the information content of a stock price and see what it's telling you about the underlying asset, the security. There, that might have a little math in it, but mostly you're interpreting what you see. Okay, that's enough about math. Now, ratios. I will not have you, well, there might be one ratio you have to calculate, but it's one from the stock screen that you might have to do. Figure out something. As far as ratios go, I'm going to ask you questions where you show me that you understand what the ratios are and what the numbers would mean. Show me that you know relationships between ratios. Like, what's a ratio? What's the relationship of the current ratio to the acid test? Something like that. What numbers would you want to see or would not want to see in a ratio? What's a number that you would never see in a ratio, or what's a number that you would not want to see in a ratio? And those are not so much math as they are just showing that you understand the ratios and understand what how they're put together formula-wise, but also what they are telling you. That's the whole point. You don't calculate just because you love yourself some math. You calculate in finance because you need to know something about the investment, the security, the underlying company. Well, that's enough about the math and the quasi-math. Now, going on from there, really should put this up on the screen overhead. I should. I know. Make sure that you know what trading symbols tell you. Like if I were to say, I want to analyze the stock KHC. You know right off the top of your head what market is that? The New York Stock Exchange. If I were to say AMZN, you would know that that is what market? AMZN. NASDAQ. Make sure you know the difference between a market and an exchange. Okay? An index and an exchange. Some indexes are from an exchange, some are not. So the S&P 500, is that an actual exchange or is that just an index? Ma'am, the S&P 500. No, that is actually just an index. There is no market called the Standard & Poor's 500. The Standard & Poor's 500 stocks, I believe they're all on the New York Stock Exchange, but that's not the NYSE. On the other hand, the NASDAQ is an index, but it's also an actual exchange. It's an electronic exchange. There's no physical platform for it. The Dow 30 is an index, but there's no physical, there's not a Dow trading floor. There's no such thing. It's just an index. It's a collection of stocks. I want you to make sure that you know, and I've beefed about this a few times, the difference between accounting and finance. You got to know the difference between those two. Make sure you know the different kinds of money. And I'm not talking about M1, M2, M3. And I also want you to make sure that you know what is meant by liquidity. and know how the liquidity is associated with different types of money. And also, of course, there's another designation, M1, M2, M3, which you should know to some extent. And I put up that video that helps you know about the Federal Reserve and all that. But for the most part, I'm interested in having you understand the what liquidity means. And with respect to money, the M's, you need to know, be able to show me that you understand things like Eurodollar. What is a euro dollar? Because I will ask you, you will have to show me that you understand what a euro dollar is. What's your... You should be able to show me the difference, what the word is for short-term funds versus long-term funds. Now, this is more in the definitions kinds of things. There's a word we use for long-term funds. There's a word we use for short-term funds. There's also what the difference is between the primary market and the secondary market. Know the difference between a bill, a note, and a bond. And in that, in a related place, you're going to have to show me that you know the difference between the issuer of debt and the investor in debt. Know the technical term for a borrower and a lender. Someone sells debt, the issuer, and someone buys debt, the lender or the investor. Make sure you know that. I have a question where you have to show me that you know dead on what the debt terminology is. And that's not a math question, it's just a terminology question. Make sure you know the risk structure of interest rates, how an interest rate is put together. What's the risk-free rate? What's in that? What's in the default maturity liquidity premium? What's in the risk premium and all that? And how that will affect the rate that is charged on a certain type of debt. So now, why is a treasury debt instrument, why does it have such low yield? What is it? What's making the interest rate on it low? Versus why is the interest rate higher on a mortgage loan? Versus why is interest rate higher on a credit card? That kind of thing. Show me that you understand what those pieces do, those terms do. Compliance. I brought up different forms, and I showed you different forms that are filed by public companies. The 10Q, the 10K, the 8K, the 13G. Show me that you know which ones have what information in them. In that same regard, well, sort of in the same regard, I have brought up five different acts of Congress, five different laws that impact on securities. Make sure you know them and which ones are addressing what. I brought up five different laws, one of them just barely, so you probably wouldn't need to worry if you can find only four in your notes. But of those four, you need to show me that you understand which laws govern what kind of securities, or do what, or were for what purpose. So in other words, and I'll just throw two of them. Why is the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 a completely different animal from Glass-Steagall Act? They address completely different things, although they do intersect in securities trading. So make sure you can find at least four in your notes that I've talked about, and know what each one of them does.
Oh, mother's work is never done.
I'll have you find I did some traditional, as far as math goes, just to mention. You know, I had you find present and future values of annuities. I'll do that on the exam. I mean, they're not hard at all. If you got the TVM solver, they're almost like a joke. But you do know how to have to know how to key in the numbers correctly, because I guarantee you, I've calculated with all of the typical mistakes, and those are multiple choice answers. So just because you see your answer does not mean in the choices, that does not mean that's the right answer. I'm looking up there. You see, it's been 3 or 4 years ago. I'm sitting here reviewing for an exam, and I didn't realize the exam was up on the screen. And I'm still a little, when I see people looking at, people were taking notes like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it was just like, it was a split screen. The first two of three pages of the exam, people were just writing. Oh, well. Oh, as far as stock information goes, make sure you understand how the market cap is calculated. Make sure you know where to look to see what risk level the security is presenting as an investment. And be sure you're looking all through the screen. The screens are not really information dense, but there's enough information there. Make sure you know what is telling you what. Looking at bid and ask, looking at on-balance volume for the day versus the average for the year, the PE ratio, dividend yield. Make sure you can calculate those total yields. Remember, it's the capital gain plus the dividend yield. The dividend yield you can see right away. It's just there, but you have to be able to calculate the capital gain to add to it. The matching is actually very easy. I mean, you will not go home with a zero. You'll have at least that many points of matching. I make to sort of soften the blow of the rest of the exam. It's the last part, and it makes you feel a sense of confidence so you can go to the spring break happy. And see later that was the only thing you got right. No, I shouldn't say that. I'm supposed to encourage you. Make sure you understand things like dividend policy. And I asked these things in class, and I think I even hit it on a quiz once. Know what a proxy is, what financial intermediation is. In the first half of the course, I gave you 87 terms or words. Now, typically in the average student's notes, you will find 20 to 25 that you have written down. That's just pretty normal. So that's why it's a good idea to go through my podcast and just have your notes in front of you so you can fill in all of the things that were poured at you. And I pour a lot of information at you. And that's my intention, is when you get out there in the world, it's just going to be information overload that they expect you to know after the first time they tell you. So there you go on that. Let me see what else. Oh, different types of company organizations, business organizations, and what the different organizational types mean about how risk is allocated. Again, I gave the different kinds of the different types of companies that you could organize, and where risk is sitting in those different types of companies. No, I talked about different kinds of banks. And make sure that you know that there are different types and they do different things. So make sure you know the broad strokes of the different types of financial institutions. Some are banks, some are like banks, some are not even like banks at all. But some of them even use the same term at the end, bank, but they are not the same animal. So make sure that you know those different types. They lay them out in the textbook, and I talked about them in class. Again, this test is on what I've said in class. If it's in the book too, that's wonderful, but there's nothing on this test that is in the book that I have not said in the classroom. Okay, so this is where I test you. I mean, if all it was just a class where you could read the textbook, you might as well just take an online class from some disreputable university. That's why you're here in this classroom, to learn more than just a textbook can tell you. Now it's your turn. You ask me questions. Like if you say, is this going to be on the test? And it's not, I'm going to say no. Are you out of your mind? Yes.
So the layout of your multiple choice, is it going to be a direct question, or is it going to be like the online test where it's just choose the correct option?
No, because that's the kind of thing. See, I can do that in an online test because you will forget to go and slash the tires of my car. In the in-class test, it's very traditional. Here's a question. Here are the possible answers. Yeah. That is a very specific question, bruh. I mean, do I look like Rain Man? I can remember that well. Well, at 1538 into lecture 5, you said, will you give me a chance here for God's sake? Oh. Give me a second here. It's 3. It's The quiz questions, they're in the resources in ReggieNet. The keys are. For the in-class quizzes. Yeah, the questions with the keys. You talking about this one? It's true. Okay. Okay, clear, apps, finance, TVM solver. Now let me pull it up. Well, you might be right. Let's see. Okay. You start $100 in the bank every month for the next 40 years. So N would be 40 times 12. Drop it down. 3.5% annual divided by 12. And after the last month's deposit, okay, now your payments into it are $100 a month. Like I said, you might be right, and these are an annuity due. Compute the future value. Look at that. I'll have to give everyone 2 points. Oh, shut up. What was it, 40 years? I'll have to check the key to make sure that I did put, that's just not the check mark in the wrong place. Future value, begin. 3.5%, $100. Yeah, I'll have to just give you all a credit, an extra 2 points. Huh. Okay, cool. Oh, didn't mean to do that. One thing that I do want to caution, in some of them, make sure that you round to the correct number of decimal points, not decimal places on them. So, I mean, if you've got an answer that's very close to something that's one of the multiple choice answers, it's going to be right, okay? So in other words, if you're off by a dollar or 20 cents or something like that, it's probably because you've just got something, a little quirk in your calculator. So make sure that you're able, so don't panic if you haven't got dead on to the right answer. I was going to show you something else while I'm up here, but, oh, I know what I was going to do. When I say a stock screen, I'm talking about something like this, where I give you a stock, and this is what I will show you, is just this information in this block right here. While I am thinking about it, you remember the last class I showed you, I taught you how to do short selling? Remember that? And I used the example TSLA, which was at 312.50, and I shorted one round lot covering at 305. You see, I won. Yeah, that one was, yes, I set it up because I knew damn well that stock was going to start getting beaten. I mean, but that's it's a legit short sell, and I took that one very nicely. That's dinner at a very nice restaurant, that play was. As a matter of fact, in the real world, once I got confirmation that the price was starting to weaken here, I would have watched for volume. As soon as I saw the volume start to rise, I would know that the bears were about to do their charge. And I probably would have dropped this probably to about 298, 297. So I could have taken even more off it. But as it was, I got a nice clean, about $1,000 on a trade, and it took it one day. That was on Thursday. So I had, well, maybe a day and a half. I covered in a day and a half on a short sell. You want a short round trip because the longer you hold that borrowed stock, the more you're paying in interest. So that was a 1.5 day round trip. My commission and all that, I still pulled maybe a grand off that play. So that's why it's always important to understand that there is that side of the market where you can bet on a drop in a stock price as well as bet on a rise in a stock price. Now, where are we now? Tesla's gotten a correction. I don't see anything to tell me that it's not. On the other hand, if I were to look at CL, Limited Brands, Colgate-Palmolive. It was trashed in the market. It was trashed on the news media today and yesterday, just having a fit. Do you see how that news media coverage did this to it? But as soon as the investors realized that that was all bull crap, it came right back up off that. I mean, if I were a hard player, I would have shorted with a very, very tight neck on it for a cup, maybe 4 hours. And as soon as I felt like there was a bottom, I probably would have freaked right here. And then I would have turned around and gone long and benefited on both sides. Short, as the market tries to figure out if that information in the news media was legit, and then turn it around and go long again because they'd figure out that that was just stupid stuff. They were just talking out their butts. A similar one would be LB. And I'm showing you this because I might ask you about something about this on the test. LB, that's Limited Brands. And Limited Brands has just announced that it's closing a pile of stores, possibly even the one here in town. And that's just bad news all around. This company is in trouble, seriously. It's getting market penetration from similar companies. Offering the same, Limited Brands Pink line is being challenged all over the place by other retailers. But on the other hand, when I hear that Amazon is going to move in and take over the big box grocery business, so that means that Walmart is going to go down, not really. Walmart is not going to die. It's not going to be damaged by Amazon. The same people, I will still go to Walmart. Why? Because I'm a Walmart person. Walmart people, the world is full of Walmart people. Don't be a Walmart person. We look ugly. We don't have all our teeth. We tend to bring our dogs to the store with us and leave them in the car. I didn't say that. What else you want to ask me about? Anything else? Yeah.
Will we need to be doing like short sale problems?
You won't. Not on this exam. On the final, quite possibly.
Okay.
Quite possibly. I've introduced some of these things that are more mathematical. I need more depth with you. I need more to have more time to give you examples of them. The stuff that you'll notice that most of these problems that are math are the ones that I showed you at least 2 weeks ago, unless it was something really simple. So in other words, I prefer that you have more, see me doing them just like a routine in the classroom and all that kind of stuff. Anything else you want to ask about? This is your turn. This is your chance to ask me is this going to be on the exam? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But there's always the none of the above, which is evil as hell. You don't get the answer that one of the four, Well, it could be because you did it wrong, or I might not have put the right answer as one of the possibilities. And that, you know, that sucks. That's why my tires get slashed. Most of the problems, just to give you the outline, I rate problems 1, 2, or 3 in difficulty. This has about, of the 32, well, now I've changed it from 40. I'm just giving you an estimate. Level 1, really easy, 10. Level 2, medium difficulty. At this point, probably about 16, and the rest would be level 3. But level 3 right now is going to be level 2 or level 1 by the time you're finished with the course. They're not killers. There's nothing in here that should break your back. You don't get it, rush through it so you can get out of here and say, I had a 15-minute class. Take your time, stay frosty, go back through, check your answers, and make sure you fill in the bubbles properly on the Fool's OpScan sheet. And no, pen doesn't work. I keep running into these quiz cards that have no score, and it's simply because they used a pen. Anything else? Yeah.
We need
to calculate free cash flow. No. Like I said, I won't do a full free cash flow because that can take a while to do. And they're fraught with mistakes. I think you've even seen me make a mistake or two. No, it was last semester I made a mistake on free cash flow. But you will have to compute one component of a free cash flow. Okay? Now, if you're thinking about what would you compute, there was really only one thing in a free cash flow calculation that you actually had to do an arithmetic exercise on, aside from adding everything up. So that should telegraph to you right there what I'm going to do as far as that problem is concerned. But no, I'm not going to have you calculate a full free cash flow. That'd be more like something for a final exam to have you do.
Yeah.
Anything else you have for me? Okay. That's all I have for you. Stay frosty, study hard. I'll see you on Wednesday evening.